So do you have a favorite superhero? Mine is Batman, partially because he takes evil head on, and I like that boldness, and partially because I can identify with his pain and his anger. Today, Batman and Robin, no, Romans, will help us figure out what to do and maybe what not to do with evil. You see, all pain doesn't necessarily come from evil, but all evil causes pain and suffering. Now, people respond differently to the pain of evil. Some people retreat so to distract themselves from or ignore the pain they're experiencing. Others try to manage the pain through unhealthy behaviors. And then there's those healthy folks who seek out help. But there's a group of people who feel called to do something about evil. And as Christians, we're definitely called to do that. Whether it's a personal tragedy that sparks it, a school shooting, the way the church, government, or whatever entity handles something, the pain seems to gnaw at people's souls so that they take action. I talked to a very group just like this week at the Portico about evil. And I heard what Paul seemed to be talking about just a few verses prior to our reading. Verse 9 says this, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and hold fast to what is good." And these women had some holy anger going on, but they weren't sure what to do with it. And pain was motivating them, but they felt powerless. I imagine you have felt that way in your life when you've experienced evil too. Now, some of them were honest and said that they prefer not to respond in a Christ-like way with mercy and goodness, but would rather have painful punishment dispensed upon those responsible. Maybe you felt that way too. It might feel like justice, but here's the problem. It's closer to revenge. In other words, holy anger can be perverted by people like you and me. It can turn into a desire for the people, groups, and nations to get what we think they deserve, which brings us to our movie today, Batman. Bruce Wayne is the main character. As a young child, Bruce has an experience that haunts him. While playing with a friend, he falls into a well and injures himself. And that's not the worst part. The well is filled with bats that are triggered by his falling in, and hundreds of them engulf him, leaving him terrified and traumatized. And while this event didn't come from evil, he lives with pervasive fear. Soon after, evil does visit him. Bruce, as a young kid, witnesses the murder of both his mother and father, which leads to a deep, gaping vat of pain. And as he gets older, that pain is really cultivated into an unquenchable anger and a thirst for vengeance. The circumstances around his parents' murder would unfold in that film and reveal the true nature of evil in all of its forms. Now, as terrible as that all was, Bruce's pain gives him a purpose. And that can happen in life. A purpose for which he dedicates his whole entire life. Taking his fear of bats, he becomes Batman, a masked crime fighter who attempts to overcome evil, but he doesn't do it with good. He does it in a different way. Early in the film, there's the scene Batman is fighting crime at night, beating up criminals who prey on the weak or unprepared. And he's known in the community and by the police as a vigilante. Some support him, others don't. In this opening scene, there's this kid who's getting initiated into this gang, and the gang has this defenseless, meek civilian cornered in the subway. All this guy's got to do to get in the gang is knock this guy out. Innocent. Guy's scared. He surrounded him. And then from out of the darkness of this doorway, you hear it. A slow beat of footsteps. One after another. From the shadows, a chilling masked figure emerges to combat these evildoers. The leader of the gang says, "Who are you supposed to be?" And this figure knocks him out. And after he does, he says, "I am vengeance." You see, this scene is a metaphor for our shadow. The spirit of vengeance and retribution that resides deep within each one of us. Jesus knew this, so did Paul. And responding to evil with evil is baked into kind of our core instincts. It feels good. Some of us, me included, who are watching this scene appreciated Batman's approach. We want to cheer. And as the story unfolds, it effectively illustrates that vengeance doesn't work. It's a myth. It only perpetuates more violence and more suffering. What Batman comes to learn is that his efforts to fight evil with vengeance have negative ripple effects. They inspire a crazed villain named Riddler to expose the evil and corruption of Gotham. And just like Batman, he too is masked. He was also an orphan who experienced terrible trauma in an orphanage, ironically, that his father, Wayne Enterprises, established. Like Batman, the Riddler terrorizes the city, but he doesn't do it for good. He does it with torture and malice, murder and vengeance. And the demented Riddler believes that he and Batman are working in conjunction to combat evil. In a scene after the Riddler gets intentionally caught by police as a part of his unfolding plan of destruction, the Riddler requests to see Batman. And when he comes in, the Riddler is locked up in Arkham and remarks, "What a great team they make." Batman's astonished and angry, and he denies that he had any part. And Riddler declares to him, he says, "You showed me what is possible. You showed me all it takes is fear and a little focused violence. You inspired me." Here's the point. Revenge and love have ripple effects. Revenge's ripple effects can't change the past evil and pain. Love and vengeance both change the future. But here's the thing, one is of God and the other isn't. Jesus is calling you and me and the church to respond to evil with love. We are to overcome evil with good. I want you to say this with me. I know you're at home. I can overcome evil with good. Romans offers us just a few ways that are profoundly simple but rigorously difficult. And I'd like for you to think of some evil you've experienced. It could be personal. It could be an evil of the world that has stoked your anger and desire for vengeance. Get it in your mind right now. And if you're willing and you're vulnerable, put it in the comment section. Here's one path for us to overcome evil with good. Simple. Three words. Acknowledge, make room, and bless. One more time. Acknowledge, make room, and bless. First, acknowledge the pain. Verse 15 says, "Mourn with those who mourn." We acknowledge the pain that evil causes for his victims, for us, for the world. We must honor the pain and suffering. And if we have it, we need to deal with it. We need to heal it. We need to go to others also who are directly impacted by the evil and be with them. Now, not every evil is ours to deal with, but God certainly wants us to do something about some evil present in the world. So for me, it's the scourge of addiction, homelessness, and poverty. For you, it might be something else. The pain that I witnessed and then experienced with my father suffering from all those things dealt me great pain. And after I stopped anesthetizing myself with alcohol and drugs, I was able to deal with my own vat of suffering. And I pledged to do something about it. And there's something else that we must acknowledge too in this kind of umbrella of acknowledgement. Is that we desire vengeance. We need to acknowledge that it's present and invite Jesus Christ into it so God can make it different. Secondly, make room. From verse 19, it says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay.'" Paul's quote in Deuteronomy 32, which goes on to say a little bit more. It says, "In due time, their foot will slip and the day of disaster is near and their doom rushes upon them." We must do what we can to combat evil, but we aren't God and we don't get to decide to dole out justice. Our call is to love our enemies, which is the most difficult part of loving God and loving neighbor in the gospel. Lastly, bless. From verses 14 and 21, it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." That's hard, I know. "On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." That actually sounds good a little bit, if we're honest. When we do these things, though, not with the motive of hurting our enemy, we illustrate Jesus' love. You see, Batman's approach didn't work. Riddler's plan unfolded, and lots of innocent people were hurt. That's the outcome of vengeance, even if it's intended for good. And one of the final clips of the movie, the city is in ruins, and Batman provides a reflection of all his involvement in what happened. He says this, "I'm starting to see now. I have had an effect here, but not the one I intended. Vengeance won't change the past, mine or anybody else's. People need hope and to know someone's out there for them. The city's angry, scarred like me. Our scars can destroy us even after the physical wounds have healed. But if we survive them, we can transform us. They can transform us. They can give us the power to endure and the strength to fight." Friends, people need hope to know that someone's out there for them. And that hope is found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of you have scars that are destroying you. Jesus can heal them. His scars on the cross offer us and our enemies the power to transform our pain and to transform the desire to hate into love. And his free grace covers it all. The good news is we have a guide to help us. And it comes when we turn our will and our life over the care of God. And that guide enables us to endure, like Batman says, and gives us the strength to fight evil. We must acknowledge, make room, bless, so we can overcome evil with good. Let's pray together. God, heal our pain, transform our scars. Let us find hope in you so we don't respond to evil with vengeance in our minds or out in the world. Give us the power to endure, the strength to fight evil in all of its forms. In the power of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.